You are listening to the Cycling Podcast at the Giro d'Italia in association with Rafa. From Grand Tours to group rides, the Champs-Élysées to coffee stops, Rafa exists to celebrate the world's most beautiful sport. Today, we are in Tel Aviv.
Obviously, it was my phase one, I'd say, in the whole process to this Giro, was trying to get this jersey, and the plan and the dream was to bring it to Italy, you know. So we had two stages here, but, you know, so we're just talking about things what did not happen.
That was BMC sports director Max Chandri in last night's episode of the Cycling Podcast from the Giro d'Italia. He thought their pink jersey dream had faded after Rowan Dennis was beaten in the opening time trial.
And we are recycling material already. Day two.
Waiting to jump in and say, spoil my beautifully crafted opening. But BMC, they pulled it out of the bag, and the pink jersey is on the shoulders of Rowan Dennis this evening. We'll talk all about that in this episode of the Cycling Podcast. My name's Lionel Burney, and I'm with Richard Moore.
Whew, nice intro, Lionel. Is that you practicing for when I'm not here?
Well, you know, yeah.
Where are we?
We're in Tel Aviv. We can't quite see the sea, but by the time we came out of the press room, it had fallen dark. It gets dark pretty early here at this time of year.
Early and quickly.
Early and quickly, yes, indeed.
A feature of this part of the world. And we had a stage today that started in Haifa. Are you giving us a tale of the tapa?
I will do,
yeah. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I was going to give you a couple of interesting little factoids about Haifa.
Go on, then.
A beautiful city, apparently, that we only really saw the football stadium. We didn't see, which is, I believe, shared by the two main football clubs there. It is Haifa twinned with, among other places, Hackney.
Really?
Did you know that? Twinned with a lot of places, but Hackney. Hackney.
Wow.
Hackney cycling connection.
Teo Gegenhardt.
Yeah, not riding here, unfortunately.
No.
And the Red Hot Chili Peppers founding guitarist Hillel Slovak was born there. Did you know that?
Wow. No, I didn't.
He unfortunately died of a heroin overdose in 1988, but he was born there.
So you've obviously Googled Haifa today.
Well done, me.
But at least you saw the most dramatic moment of the race, which I completely missed because I'd gone down to the finish line area in search of someone I wanted to interview for Monday's Kilometre Zero. So I missed the dramatic action on stage two of the Giro from Haifa to Tel Aviv. It was short. 167 kilometres. We'll talk a little bit about the route they took. It wasn't terribly inspiring. The last 15 kilometres approach into Tel Aviv was quite attractive. As expected, a sprint finish. And as expected, Elia Viviani of Quickstep won the stage. As somebody very witty on Twitter said, Elia Televiviani. Oh, I can hear the groans from here.
I think those are motorbikes, actually. Apologies for that. We are on a quite busy street here.
It started off as a fairly run-of-the-mill opening stage of a Grand Tour, opening road stage of a Grand Tour. Davide Ballerini of Androni, Victor Campanets of Lotto Fixall, and Guy Niv of the Israel Cycling Academy tried to get away. No one was letting that go because Campanets, of course, was only 2 seconds down on GC. Not the most tactically smart move, that one, trying to sneak away at the start of a 100-mile stage. But anyway, that didn't work. Ballerini then went again.
He's not famous for subtlety, though, is he, old Campanets?
Well, funny enough, I didn't know how it had worked out with his asking somebody out for a date in the time trial of the Giro last year when he unzipped his skin suit and had a vest, asking somebody out on a date. I asked this morning at the team, you know, I didn't want to put my foot in it.
Asking the hard questions here, Lionel.
And I was told, well, they went out on a date, but it didn't go any further. So anyway, no. you can't win them all. Lars Back reacted to Ballerini's second move, and a little bit later on, Guillaume Boivin, the Canadian rider with the Israel Cycling Academy team, he got across to make it three riders at the front. So far, nothing particularly noteworthy. But then just before the fourth category climb and intermediate sprint, second intermediate sprint, BMC went to the front and started to chase really quite hard. They brought the gap right down. They didn't quite close it before the climb, but they brought the gap down enough that Enrico Barbin of Bardiani was able to jump across, and he pipped Boivin to the points at the King of the Mountains. But then came the second intermediate sprint, the pivotal part of the day, really. BMC led out Dennis to take the 3 seconds on the line, and that meant he jumped 1 second ahead of Tom Dumoulin overall. So Dennis now does have the pink jersey to take possibly to Sicily if he can survive tomorrow, and he completes the collection of all three Grand Tour leaders' jerseys. After that, the finish was fairly straightforward. It didn't look terribly difficult for Viviani. That's his second Giro stage win in his career. Jakub Moretzko of Vilea was second. Sam Bennett, the Irish rider with Bora, was third. Dennis in pink, Viviani in the points jersey, Barbin in King of the Mountains, and Max Schachmann, the best young rider.
Seems a little bit unfair to say that the most exciting part of the day was a bit unfair on Viviani, perhaps, who obviously won the stage, and that's quite a thing to do. But it's, I mean, the point, I suppose, is I don't know many people who are great fans of the intermediate sprints or feel that they've really added an awful lot. But today they genuinely did. And BMC deserve an awful lot of credit for having that audacious plan and then executing it so well. It was about a 3-minute gap they closed in about 20 kilometres. We weren't, I think looking back, that was about, which is good going, you know, that's really good going. And they were fully committed to it. And Jürgen Rolands was the guy led out, Rowan Dennis, who did a really good job. Now, Dennis afterwards did say that he had gone around the bunch just checking with some of the other key riders whether they were going to contest it. And Dumoulin told him that he wasn't bothered, so he kind of gave him the okay to go for it. And some people speculating that Viviani also, who was up there, let him have it because there was more at stake for Dennis than for Viviani in that moment. But nevertheless, it was extremely well done. Full credit to them. I spoke at the finish to Nicholas Roach, who was a crucial part of that. Now, at the start of his career, Nicholas Roach did get up there in bunch sprints, so he knows how to handle himself in that sort of situation. An intermediate sprint isn't exactly the same, but he did a very, very good job. He led through a kilometre to go and did a good turn at the front before Jürgen Rolands took over. And here he is at the finish, Nicholas Roach.
An outstanding job you did there to help Rohan get the sprint. That plan you had in the morning.
We had the idea. We had a couple of ideas, as you can imagine. If I can say, they kind of the perfect plan, which almost never happens in cycling, but we thought we'd give it a go. Initially, we wanted to have a look at the Lotto rider, who was very close, and we knew he was going to try. And the guys did a perfect job to chase him down every time he went. As the gap was quite controllable, about 40, 50k before the sprint, we thought that we've nothing to lose. Rowan took the responsibility with the director and said, let's go for it. If we lose, we lose, but at least, you know, it's 50k, give it a go. And I think the team planned it well, and Rowan finished the job well for pink jersey for tomorrow.
We used to see you in bunch sprints, of course. Did you some of that experience come in handy there?
Yeah, I enjoyed it already in Oman. I led out Greg a few times, and it's it's something that I started with, and I did enjoy it. Obviously, it's one thing leading out a bonus sprint, and it's another thing going into mass sprint. This week, there's Jempy has a few opportunities, and I think I might give him a hand here and there. But as you know, I think today was quite exceptional.
Quite deflated maybe last night, because I know the team wanted the pink jersey for Andy Reese, didn't they? Was the plan hatched last night to try and salvage something today?
Well, the plan was obviously to get it yesterday, and I think Rowan really was eager to get that win in that prologue, and he was super ready, and you know, he just got beaten by a stronger rider on the day, as he said himself. We knew that today was still an opportunity with only 2 seconds. There was a lot to be done to make it happening. The team did whatever we could to at least try, and it was great to succeed.
Yeah, it's interesting that point, Richard, about Rowan Dennis kind of canvassing opinion to see what kind of opposition they might encounter in going for that intermediate sprint. But if you think about it, it was kind of win-win all the way round, wasn't it? Because Dumoulin and Sunweb, they don't want to have to defend the pink jersey for longer than is necessary. It doesn't materially change the complexion of the race for Dumoulin just to slip out of the jerseys. Doesn't move in relation to any of the other favourites. Viviani and Quickstep wouldn't have minded the fact that break got brought back under control nice and early, and made things a bit simpler for them in the finale. I suppose the only team that could have mounted any opposition would have been Lotto Fix All, but from what I gather, because as I say, I didn't actually see what happened, but BMC, they bossed it. It wasn't like they were going to, once they committed to that move, they weren't going to surrender it at all.
No, and we've so seldom seen teams doing that for an intermediate sprint. They risked having, I suppose, egg on their face if it didn't work out. If they'd done all that work, closed the gap, and then he hadn't won it. So well done them, and a great result. And I mean, Rowan Dennis didn't mention in his press conference, so I'm sure he did mention in his other interviews that Andy Reese obviously died a couple of weeks ago, the owner and funder of BMC, and it meant a lot to them. They don't have an awful lot of other targets here, I wouldn't have thought, BMC, so that's a huge result for them. And Rowan Dennis, you know, does have aspirations to develop into a GC rider, a Dumoulin-style rider, I suppose. He's not dissimilar in terms of his skills and his ability, a bit smaller than Dumoulin. So he'll be wanting to get a lot more out of this Giro over the 3 weeks, I would imagine.
We've sometimes given BMC a bit of a hard time, haven't we, for being a rudderless ship at times. And I remember, was it 2 years ago at the Giro when they really didn't seem to have any objective at all? I remember talking to Max Chiandri then for a kilometre zero about how a team copes when they don't really have a rider for the overall and they don't seem to be managing to get in the breaks.
He was disarmingly frank, wasn't
he was,
about his riders.
Yeah, and he said, you know, sometimes you just have to tell him, look, you've got to get in the bike race. But after the disappointment, and I saw that disappointment firsthand last night, Pinotti and Chiandri particularly were, you know, their chins were on the floor. They thought Dennis had a really good shout at winning the opening stage time trial. But to lift themselves overnight and to have everybody in on that goal and say, right, we're going to try this. And like you say, Rich, it's not without risk that, because, you know, no one wants to put everything on the line, fail, and then everyone kind of sniggering up their sleeves at what was a, you know, a cheeky-ish but understandable attempt to pinch the pink jersey.
But inspired. Poor old Campenaerts was, his desperation was obvious when in the lull after the sprint he had another go. He went off on his own, you know, 60 kilometres to go, and he's, you know, got a 15-second lead, and he's sort of settling down into the time trial position, and you're thinking, really?
That wasn't going to work, was it?
I noticed the team tweeting, you know, go, go, but not sure the sports director would have been sharing that sentiment. So Rowan Dennis in the pink jersey and Tom Dumoulin at the finish did appear quite relaxed about that, clearly. It's in his interest too.
San Francisco.
A community around the world. Stories and films with the most compelling characters. The world's finest apparel. Explore the world of cycling with Rafa.
Thank you very much to Rafa for sponsoring us and allowing us to be here at the Giro d'Italia in Israel, heading over to Italy on Monday, covering the whole race. And we mentioned last night our Pedlar de Charme range that's on Rafa at rafa.cc. Kirk Pedrick sent us a picture on Twitter this morning of him in his Pedlar de Charme jersey. Looked fantastic. Obviously good weather wherever you are, Kirk. So you can go to rafa.cc or thecyclingpodcast.com and the shop.
Forward slash shop,
and that'll take you to the Rafa page, our page on the Rafa website. We've got a competition, haven't we, to announce?
We have, yeah.
Lionel,
well,
landed you in it there.
Basically retweet our tweet announcing this episode, stage two of the Giro, with why you listen to, just a small comment, why you listen to the cycling podcast. So retweet us with a comment, and you'll be entered into a draw. And on the rest day, we will pick some winners. We've got some various Rafa
some
and
really
science
good
in
stuff,
sport.
Actually.
Yeah,
Rafa,
we've got some
and science and sport kit,
some goodies,
gear,
goodies.
Products.
Yeah. So you've got to be in it to win it. So retweet any of our tweets, really, with them, with a message from you saying why you listen to the cycling podcast, and keep
and
them clean.
And the most sarcastic will win.
Well, yeah, keep them clean. Bear in mind, we might read these, and, you know, morale's fragile enough as it is.
We should mention, we had a phone message that we played last night from Stephen Tunstall about the ride that he's doing in Israel at the moment. That was interesting. We had another message today from Ben Miller. Thank you, Ben, for your message. That was very kind of you to say what you said and to mention the coverage that we've tried to give you of our few days here in Israel, and we will be covering that at greater length in our Monday morning episode of Kilometre Zero, the first of 9 episodes of Kilometre Zero, which will be available to friends of the podcast at thecyclingpodcast.com. You can sign up for that. That's coming together nicely. We've been speaking to a lot of people about their experiences of, impressions of, misgivings about being here in Israel. We've also spoken to people who live here, fans and people involved in the sport here, and some riders, and some very interesting comments. George Bennett, in particular, the Lotto NL Jumbo rider, had some very interesting things to say about being here. So you'll hear all that on Monday. But Lionel, today we left Jerusalem in the morning and drove all the way to Haifa. On the way to Syria, we're pretty close to Syria there. It's just fascinating to look at the wider map and just see where we are in the world and the countries around here, which is another really important bit of context in understanding Israel and the politics here. And we got a glimpse of the wall, didn't we, today, which, you know, it covers about 450 miles of Israel. But, you know, the race followed a pretty straightforward route up the coast here to Tel Aviv. There were lots of shots, actually, on television of the coastline, which actually weren't shots anywhere near the race.
Clever bit of TV direction, I think, because as the race was taking a sort of 4 or 5 lane highway, not the prettiest road for a lot of it, has to be said. The helicopter was obviously flying parallel and getting some lovely shots of the coastline itself. But it was, like I said in the introduction, as it entered Tel Aviv, it looked great, didn't it?
And the crowds were fantastic. The race had a very warm welcome. Again, security almost non-existent, it seems, around the crowds at the finish and at the start as well. The crowd's almost out of control, you know, on the climb in particular.
Well, yeah, I actually spoke to Lars Back, who was in the break, and he was riding up that hill with the fans. You know, they were getting very close. I mean, it was the kind of thing you see in the high mountains on the Giro and the Tour de France. The spectators, you know, almost, carried away with the sense of occasion. And
it looked like a running race at one point.
It didn't it?
There were two riders and about 8 runners.
Indeed.
Keeping
well,
pace.
Yeah, let's hear what Lars Back's impressions of the race and the crowd were today. How was your day out in the break today?
Oh, it was actually Campenaerts that should have been in the break to take the seconds, but they didn't want to let him go. And first it was not my intention to pull in the breakaway, but then we had the gap, and then BMC had a good plan, and but then I still tried to fight for the mountain jersey, and then actually I was happy that we are caught back, so I could save my energy.
It was crazy on that hill, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It was more dangerous here in the end because people was lying down and taking pictures, and I don't think they're used to cycling here, so definitely it was really dangerous. A lot of people in the end. I didn't expect so many people, but they stand often on the 1 meter out of the road. That was dangerous. So I hope tomorrow it'll be better.
While we're just wrapping up, mopping up the break, as the peloton did, I also spoke briefly with Guillaume Boivin, the Canadian rider with the Israel Academy team. He had one simple objective today, having got into that break, but it didn't quite come off.
Unfortunately, the bunch was just too close, and one guy from the bunch jumped across and passed me in the last 100 meters of the KOM. That was pretty heartbreaking, but yeah. It was a beautiful day out there, and just tried to show the jersey for our fans that have been unbelievable since we arrived in Israel. So, yeah, it was a good day, but close but no cigar. We'll try again tomorrow.
Yeah, when we saw the bunch was coming back so quick, I was a bit surprised. I mean, we could assume BMC wanted to go for that sprint, but we were hoping we were going to have enough time at least, because all we wanted really was just to play for that KOM. That was the only goal, really. So I was the last one of the break, but I think was it Barbin from Bardiani? Yeah, he just passed me in the last, I don't know, 100 meters or something, which was heartbreaking. It was insane. Lots of people, really insane. So thanks Tel Aviv, and then tomorrow we got another one. Yeah. Would have been really nice to get the jersey. That was more the plan. It wasn't really my job. It was just something we had to do as a team, you know. Second time was more just to show the jersey wasn't there. I wasn't killing myself out there, so it was okay. Yeah, feeling good. Now gonna go recover and try to do a good day tomorrow.
So no King of the Mountain jersey for the Israel Cycling Academy team today, but they were off the front more or less from start to not quite finish, but almost a lot of the day.
Almost as predictable as a Viviani win at the end of the day. And we haven't really spoken about Viviani, but he's having a great season. He is a very popular rider. He was very popular when he was at Team Sky. And I remember 2 years ago at the Giro when he was outside the time limit on the stage into Arezzo, the White Road stage that was run by Brambilla. Quite a memorable day for us, I remember, because we got lost.
We did get lost. We went.
And so did Viviani. Yeah. We were outside the time limit.
We were.
And so were so was Viviani. But Viviani was far more gracious about it than we were, because he sent a WhatsApp message to all his teammates and the staff at Team Sky, apologising very kind of effusively, and he was obviously really upset him to be kicked out of his national tour. And I saw the message that he sent, and it was very emotional. So he's back at the Giro. I think it's his first time here since then, because he didn't ride last year.
Yeah, he didn't ride a single Grand Tour last year for Sky, no.
One of the reasons he left, I suspect. But he, won the stage today, as everybody expected to do, because he's having a fantastic season.
Yeah, and I think we're guilty, because the sprinting field isn't isn't as the deepest, is it? A lot of the top sprinters aren't here, but it's a really good, solid, evenly matched field. There's not a huge number of opportunities for them either. Obviously, tomorrow's stage into Eilat, you imagine, will be a sprint finish. But we shouldn't just gloss over Viviani's win and take it for granted, because he sure isn't. But it's been a great season for him so far. You know, he won a stage of the Tour Down Under at the start of the year, a couple of stages and the overall at Dubai, a stage in Abu Dhabi, and he also won the 3 days of Dapana, Dridaza, Dapana de Coxeda.
The one-day, three-day race.
He's ticking over with the wins, but again, within the context of the Quickstep team, who have been absolutely on fire for a month now, Viviani's victories, have gone a little bit under the radar. But to come here to win on the first opportunity in the Grand Tour season for him, you know, that's something that takes some doing, really. A lot of expectation and pressure.
I knew he was going well when I saw him ride that first 400 metres of the time trial on Friday. Flying, absolutely flying.
You are a blue bullet. Quite a talent spotter, Rich.
His team as well. There were, as always on the first sort of sprint stage of a Grand Tour, you see teams trying to really assert themselves, and sometimes doing so in perhaps not the smartest way. And Lotto NL Jumbo were at the front very early today for Danny Van Poppel. His brother, Boy Van Poppel, was fined today for not wearing the correct attire.
Wow.
And the sign-on. There you go. There were a few weird fines today dished out at the start. Lionel Marie was fined. He's a sports director for Israel Cycling Academy for having an underage guest. I've never seen that before.
No, well.
Anyway, all sorts of rules and regulations at the Giro. Why are you looking at me like that?
Well, I'm wondering what that could be. Does that mean
if you have a guest pass,
maybe under the age of 18, not allowed to go in a team car or something like that?
Maybe.
We'll check that out.
It's worth investigating, isn't it?
It is.
Oh. Quickstep were not that visible at the front, and Viviani, in the end, had to do an awful lot. He came from well back. Zdenek Stibar was quite visible a bit earlier on and closed a few gaps, and because there were a few late attacks. Katusha were... who had three guys in the top 10 at the time trial, they obviously had a kind of mad idea to try and sneak off Tony Martin or...
Yeah, was, I mean, never that.
It was a long
Tony
shot.
Tony Martin is not the kind of rider who can just sneak off. I mean, he's quite noticeable, isn't he? I mean...
Yeah, but, by the same token, if he gets a little gap, he's quite a hard man to catch.
Yeah, true.
It's nice to see teams having a go, I would say. But Viviani, the favourite, and a very, very solid win for him.
The Cycling Podcast is supported by Science in Sport. Independent research shows 10% of sports nutrition products would get a professional rider banned. Trust Science in Sport, the world's highest standard of banned substance testing.
Thank you to Science in Sport for sponsoring the Cycling Podcast. 25% off all your Science and Sport products at scienceandsport.com with the code SISCP25. That's available to you if you have a UK address. And speaking of fueling and nutrition, Lionel, a few complaints that we didn't talk about food last night?
Well, we recorded prior to our dinner.
Oh, that's right, we did.
Yeah, two
but
meals.
But you had, I mean, we'd been in Israel at that point at least 24 hours, which means you'd eaten quite a lot by that point. You know, you packed away.
But last night's meal was interesting. It was recommended to me by somebody to try the shush barak. I was told it was kind of meatballs in a cheese sauce. It was unusual-ish because the meatballs were actually in a sort of dumpling. So they
it was
were,
more like ravioli.
It was more like ravioli. And in a goat's cheese sauce, which had a... It was an acquired taste, really. It took me a couple of mouthfuls to really get into it. But then once I got going...
But by your second plate, you were really enjoying it.
A bit like pedalling a big gear. The first couple of revs were tricky, but then once I was up to speed, I was racing through my
dish. We should mention the meal we had the night before. Showing a shocking lack of imagination, we actually ate in the same place two nights in a row.
Well, there was a good reason for that, there wasn't.
Yeah.
Struggled to find anywhere that was open last night. So we were in an American hotel restaurant, weren't we?
Yeah, and it was very nice. And we had local food there and local wine, which was very nice as well.
Yes.
And thanks very much to friends of the podcast if you've been signing up. I hadn't actually worked out the exchange rate at the point where I ordered the wine, the wine that was recommended to me.
I mean, part of travelling to other countries is, you know, getting to grips with a little bit of the...
But there's that beautiful moment where you haven't got to grips with the exchange rate and it's not like real money, it's like Monopoly
money.
Yeah,
but then
money.
When we did the sums, we worked out that was quite an eye-watering bottle of wine. It was very nice.
TheCyclingPodcast.com if you'd like to sign up as a friend of the podcast. Or that might be the last bottle of wine of the Giro, I think. But no, we had a delicious local food, lots of hummus and mez-type dishes that were, you know, with the flatbread, which was lovely, just what we needed.
Yeah.
So that's all been very nice, and we're looking forward to a nice meal in Tel Aviv tonight, I hope. Any other business from this morning, Lionel?
Well, I was going around sort of talking to a few people for our Kilometre Zero, which will be out on Monday. So, you know, it's always strange, isn't it, after an opening time trial, the race hasn't really settled into a rhythm yet. So it was just interesting that, you know, Haifa, by all accounts, a very beautiful town, but we were sort of in a car park outside the football stadium. It wasn't, you know, perhaps the most beautiful place to start this morning.
Well, not the car park, no. I mean, the town itself is very beautiful.
Well, we only have that on recommendation. We didn't actually get to see it, unfortunately.
Yeah, I googled it, Lionel.
Ah.
I spoke to Michael Woods, the Canadian Education First Drapac rider, who finished second at Liège-Bastogne-Liège recently and is coming into this Giro really looking to build on the performance that he produced at the Vuelta last year, which was a bit of a breakthrough for him, and only his second Grand Tour. The Giro last year was his first ever Grand Tour. He's not a young rider, but he is still developing, I suppose, as a stage race rider in particular. Here's what he had to say at the start this morning.
Mike, you come into the Giro with a great ride at Liège-Bastogne-Liège. What's your sort of mood coming into the race?
Pretty relaxed and excited and happy. Because of Liège, definitely a bit of a weight lifted off my shoulders. I wanted to get a bigger result this year, and that's, I think, one of the results that I was really hoping for. Now I can carry that with some confidence into this race.
Was that a surprise, or did you feel that the form was there?
Yeah, it was a big surprise. I was not going well all through the start of the season, did not have the start to the season that I wanted. Once the Ardennes started, I started feeling better with each one. And in Liège, all of a sudden, like, it just clicked. I felt like that was the rider I was last year. Felt super light and relaxed and confident, and yeah, it was like I was so surprised in the race, like I was just riding this high the whole time, and almost worried that I wasn't going to be as good as I was feeling, but I was.
What is that? Is that a mental thing or a physical thing or a bit of both?
I think it's a bit of both. Juan Manuel Garate, my director, one of my directors, says like talk to me about this a bunch this year, how like your mind has to be connected with the body, and the two have to be in sync. And maybe at the start of the season, your legs are ready because you've done all the training, but your mind's not ready to suffer. And for me, because I got sick, I needed to kind of suffer a bunch, just get my ass kicked for the first few races of the season until finally I got that connection.
So here at the Giro, are you going to tackle this in the same way you did the Vuelta, where you rode an aggressive race, you're trying to win a stage, but you still also managed to finish in the top 10? Is that kind of what you're aiming for here?
Yeah, certainly that style of racing. Like, the big goal is to get a stage win. I just don't have the legs to do a good time trial. Maybe in the future I'll be able to, but it's certainly a weakness still for me. So that being said, I'm not a guy that's really in contention for a podium in the GC unless something crazy happens. So I have to race aggressive, and I have to race to try and win a stage.
So that was Michael Woods, who admitted that he was surprised by his performance at Liège-Bastogne-Liège, but he needed that. He needed that for confidence coming into this race. And he is an interesting character, you know, former runner. I said this last year, but he reminds me so much of Greg LeMond. He talks like Greg LeMond. He sounds like Greg LeMond, and he speaks in these short, sort of breathless bursts. And there's a, you know, and I think partly because he's so new to the sport still, it's all new to him. And he's a bright guy, and so he's taking a lot in, and he's good at sharing that, which is great. So we hope to speak to him a lot during this Giro. But we should wrap things up for tonight, Lionel, because we're in Tel Aviv, and there's a lot to see and eat here.
There is indeed, and well, we'll be back tomorrow evening after the final stage here in Israel before the transfer back to Sicily.
Indeed. Thank you very much, Lionel.
Thank you, Richard.
A community around the world. Stories and films with the most compelling characters. The world's finest apparel. Explore the world of cycling with Rafa. Ci gira nella tenevo giardina che la...